Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Good evening and welcome to the Sabina Spin, When I Hold On and When I Let Go. The great Sufi master Rumi said, life is a balance between holding on and letting go. Life really is balance anyway, but it's especially true when it comes to holding on and letting go. Important to hold on to what serves you, what fulfills you, what satisfies you. And it's important to let go of what doesn't serve you, what doesn't fulfill you, what doesn't make you happy, what doesn't serve your soul. And sometimes it's hard to differentiate between the two because we get caught up in tell us what we think should be happening and yada, 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 when it really should just be a question of, does it feel good to me? Does it satisfy me? Yes. Hold on to it. No. Let it go. But easier said than done. And it's been easier said than done for me at various points in my life. So to help you all out, I'm going to talk about times in my life when I held on and times in my life when I let go. If you'd like to call and put your spin on this topic, I'd love to hear from you. Call-in number is 323-642-1775. Again, the guest call-in number is 323-642-1775. I would love to hear from you. So, there was a time in my life when I held on, and it was a combination of me holding on serving me, but then also it was a struggle. It was a struggle for me to hold on. When I was working in a job I had been working in for many years, all of a sudden someone above me, an administrator, decided she was going to throw me under the bus and make me look as bad as possible whenever she could. Now, she had many reasons for doing this. One of which was she never liked me to begin with. Like, I could tell from day one she didn't like me. That's fine. She had her reasons. But as soon as she got an opportunity to fuck with me, she took it. And it was the way it was given to her, this opportunity, was in the form of, okay, I'm going to look bad, so to make sure I don't look bad, I'm going to throw Sabina under the bus, and I'm going to make her look bad, so I don't look bad. And so nobody's pointing any fingers at me. I'll just have them all look at her and point fingers at her. So when I say she gunned for me, she took every opportunity to make my life difficult, to be on my toes, to have me watch my back. As a matter of fact, my direct supervisor actually sat me down and literally said, Sabina, this is a meeting about me caring for you. Actually, those weren't the exact words, but this is a meeting that's caring for you and basically making sure that I watched my back. So she didn't come out and say, this broad's gunning for you, watch your back, but she went around it. She basically warned me without actually warning me. And she actually said, this place will throw you under the bus, watch your back. But she meant this one person in particular. And I understand why she didn't name her directly, because it wasn't in her best interest to get in there and get directly involved. But she did have my back. So meant it. It wasn't me just being paranoid. She was gunning for me. And this woman actually had the power on several occasions to do my evaluations. Now, if I had known better at the time, I would have gone to the union and made a stink because she did my evaluation more than once, more than twice in a row, and I didn't realize that that wasn't supposed to happen. But whatever, I got through it. But the one thing in that situation that I wear as a badge of honor is that even when she did my evaluations, she wanted to give me an unsatisfactory so badly. You could either get an unsatisfactory, a satisfactory, or a provisional. So unsatisfactory clearly is the F, right? Provisional is like a D. And satisfactory, it's just satisfactory. It's A, B, C, take your pick. But satisfactory is what you wanted. So as much as she didn't like me, as much as she wanted to make me look bad, as much as she wanted to make me look incompetent, she was never able to. She had no choice but to give me a satisfactory. She never even gave me a provisional. She looked for shit so she could give me an unprovisional or an unsatisfactory, but she never found it. I remember one time we were in a meeting, and for whatever reason, she wanted me to show her different lessons I was doing and how I was going to teach something, just looking for something to criticize. And so I showed her a lesson on writing a persuasive essay. And so she looked at it, and I saw the look on her face. She had, like, her brows furrowed, her eyes were squinting, looking at it. And she wanted so badly to say this sucked, but she couldn't do it. She looked at it, and she was just like, this is how you would teach a persuasive essay. And I'm thinking to myself, you're goddamn right it's how you teach a persuasive essay because I know how to teach writing, and you know that. So it's try as hard as she tried. She couldn't prove I wasn't doing my job. And so, like I said, I wore this as a badge of honor because she tried to make me look bad, and I never gave her anything for her to succeed. I gave her stuff to enable her to make my life a nuisance. And like I said, I gave it to her. I made mistakes, but we all make mistakes in life and our jobs. I didn't deserve to be hammered for it, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. She didn't reach the ultimate goal. Now, the reason I held on there, because I was looking over my shoulder a lot for like maybe 2-3 years. And it got to a point where it was physically affecting me. And as soon as it physically affected me, I said, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. She does not get to have this type of power over me. And it was a very good position. And I had my summers off. You know, I took stock and I said, I'm not letting this midget, this malevolent midget, that was my nickname for her, this malevolent midget, I'm not going to let her run me out of a good situation. I'm just not going to let her do it. I just refused to allow her to get me to a point where, one, she could run me out of there in a way that was physical. I had a friend who literally, she was at our sister high school. She used to literally have fainting spells. She was so frazzled and so run down, she would have fainting spells. And I, of course, had compassion when she told me about that. But I thought to myself, there is no fucking way I ever let this place or any person or any situation take me there where I am physically ill. She couldn't drive a car for years. She was not medically cleared to drive a car. Fuck that. Again, I have compassion for her. I understand.
how that stressed her out. But there is no way in this world, in this universe, that I would ever let any situation affect me to that level. And I made that decision when that was going on, or just like at the very first hint of me being physically affected, I said, oh, fuck no, this does not happen. And then when I made that decision and I held on and I realized, you know what, motherfuckers, do your worst. You can't prove I don't do my job because I fucking do my job. And then the malevolent midget, when she couldn't get to me when I was in a different school, she tried to get another principal to go after me. And she got in her ear or whatever it is she did. And that other principal was convinced I wasn't doing my job either. So then she was watching me like a hawk. But the good thing about that administrator, that principal, is that she actually cared about the system. She didn't have a personal thing against me. She just wanted to make sure that I was doing my job because somebody had told her I wasn't. And so she watched me, and she literally said, I love what I saw in your classroom. I love what I saw. I love what you did. And she told me later, oh, why don't you do X, Y, and Z, and you can be the malevolent one over like you won me over. Of course, she didn't call her malevolent. That's my word for her. But you can try to win her over the way you won me over. And she warned me about her, too. Said, oh, I told her I was raving about you, but she said, oh, we still have her, blah, blah, blah. Somebody could have told her I had golden sparks coming out of my eyeballs and my ears, and she would have said, oh, I still have my doubts. So I knew it didn't matter what I did. I tell you, because I did my job, I was free and clear. And that's what I held on to. I knew I was doing my job. I knew I was doing good work with kids, for kids. So there wasn't shit she could do to me. And she could waste her energy trying to do something to me, trying to make me look bad, whatever her exact intention was, try to get me fired, whatever it was. She didn't succeed. I believe she realized it on her own that this is a waste of my energy. I'm done. And then she left me alone because I held on. And I never regretted holding on. I will never regret that decision in that moment because I stood my ground. I stood on my talent, my skills, and it got me through. Now, in that same position, when it got to a point where it no longer fulfilled me, it no longer satisfied me, I walked away. And I gave it some time. When that started to happen, I gave it a few years. I literally gave it a few years. I even took a sabbatical to take a break. I took a semester sabbatical to take a break and come back and be refreshed. And I still wasn't satisfied. There was a moment, and it was in the fall of 2015, where a shift came in that, of course, adults got on my nerves. They're fucking adults, and they're annoying. So they got on my nerves, and I can deal with that. But then one day in 2015, the kids were getting on my nerves. I mean, when you're a teacher, kids get on your nerves. I don't care if you teach preschoolers. They get on your nerves. But then with me, there was a point where they got on my nerves to the point where I felt like nothing I do fucking matters. They don't give a shit. Now, everyday annoyance. That's, I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. Nothing I do is good enough. So
I said, you know what? I need to take a sabbatical. And then I did. And when I came back, I said, okay, let me see what I can do till the end of the year. And I held on. And then the 2015-2016 school year came along. And at that point, I said, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do, but I'm done. So what do I have to do? What steps do I need to take? And I let go. And in June of 2016, I let go of something that fulfilled me for a long time. But then I let go when it stopped fulfilling me. When it fulfilled me, I held on. When it stopped fulfilling me, I let go. It was that simple. And there were times in my life when I should have let go, but I didn't. That was relationships. Two times in my life where I held on to relationships that I shouldn't have held on to, basically beating a dead horse. And I beat a dead horse. The first time I did that, I beat a dead horse for about a year and a half. Now, I won't even beat a dead horse for a month and a half. When you know something's not working, it's not working. And there's a point where you realize no matter how hard I try to make it work, it's not going to work. Now I'm at a point where if I have to try hard to make it work, then it's probably not worth it. If I have to exhaust myself trying to make it work, it's never going to work, and it's not worth making work, if that makes sense. That phrase, worth making work, makes sense. So I have my moments where I should have let go and I didn't. Now, I am smack dab in the middle of holding on, but the great thing is that I should be holding on. And I'm glad that I'm holding on. And the reason I say I'm holding on is because for the past 2 years, I've been working at a new career, a new business, a new way of life. And I've had my ups and downs in it, but I'm holding on. And the reason that I'm holding on is that overall, it does satisfy me. It does satisfy me to be where I am at this point in my life. What I'm doing satisfies me, makes me happy, fulfills me. And I will find a way to make it work. And that's what I've been doing. I've been finding ways to make it work. I've been finding ways to approach things that I'm uncertain about with curiosity, with passion, with inspiration. So when you have passion, inspiration, and curiosity, fuck yeah, you hold on, which is, like I said, which is what I'm doing at this moment. What I'm letting go of right now is my fear of, can I make this work? Is it good enough? Do I have what it takes? I'm letting go of all of those fears because I know I can make it work and I know I have what it takes. And I'm also letting go of notions of how it should be. I'm letting go of, well, I should have done X, Y, and Z by now. I'm letting go of, well, I should have done something this way, that way. There is no should. There is no what I should have done. There is no what should be. There is only what is. So I continue to let go because I'm not fully there yet. But I continue to let go of how it should be, how I should be. I'm just letting go of that. And I'm staying in what I am, doing that fulfills me, makes me proud, makes me happy, makes me want to get up in the morning. That's what I'm holding on to now. If you like what you heard and would like to hear more, I have a blog called Behind and Beyond the Veil at www.saminakmogul.com. I also have two books available, two works of fiction, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo, available at amazon.com. Until next time, have a great evening, good night, and love and light.